Hallelujah. The title of today's message is Keeping the Plate Spinning. Okay? And so we just watched Eric Brenn plate spinning on the Ed Sullivan Show in 1969. And so for those of you who are listening who didn't get to see that, go ahead and go to YouTube and type in Eric Brenn plate spinning on the Ed Sullivan Show, and you'll get to watch what we just saw. And which will segue into the title of the message, the topic for today, Keeping the Plate Spinning. Keeping the Plate Spinning. Luke chapter 11, verse 32 says, Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees now. He says, But woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass over judgment and the love of God. These ye ought to have done, and not left the others undone. Okay? So evidently the Pharisees were spinning a couple of plates, but they left a couple plates not spinning. All right? And how many can relate to this guy running back and forth trying to keep the plate spinning? How many feel like you have a lot of plates spinning in your life and you're just running back and forth trying to keep everything from falling down and falling apart? A lot of what we've been learning here at Church on the Rock is about health, spirit, soul, and body. And so what I wanted to do is look at just one facet of the human being, and that's the spiritual side of the human being, and look at all the plates that God has given us, and we've called them ingredients in the past. We've been talking about the recipe for a healthy human being. And so each one of these plates is an ingredient, and I just want to look briefly at some of the plates that God has ordained for us to keep spinning. All right. Number one, relationship with God. How many believe that that is a plate that God does not want you to let fall to the ground? And our relationship with God is broken up into many facets just by itself. The relationship with God. How about your relationship with God the Father? And I spoke earlier about the how we connect with God. And I was going to bring, walk to church this morning, and I felt bad about leaving the dog, but I didn't know. Lord, how do you feel about the dog coming to church with me today? And I really felt like I was connecting with Jesus, who loves animals. I could see his face. I could see him just walking around and petting animals. And has anybody ridden a horse here before? Have you ever been near a horse? Have you ever pet a horse? Or I've raised horses from foals all the way up through a well-trained animal. You develop a special relationship with a horse. I believe that that is in me because it's in God. I don't think God looks at human beings or animals or plants or the earth or planets or the universe as a disposable item. Many of us as human beings have kind of lost touch with that whole idea of connecting with nature and connecting with this wonderful gift called the planet. And we saw in Charlotte's article that Charlotte is very conscious of the idea of being connected with the planet and taking care of the planet as we did the beach cleanup, and she wrote in our newsletter about that. So here, I was connecting with the facet of God who loves animals. And I did not feel like God would be upset if the dog came to church with me this morning. So do I believe that there may be a time where God might say, leave the dog at home because I don't want there to be a distraction, or we're meeting with the King of Kings on the throne and there needs to be order? So anyway, recognize that there are different facets with God. How many have ever heard of your relationship with God the Father? And that some people have said that they have difficulty with God the Father because in the natural realm, their father may have been abusive. So this whole idea of Father is a difficulty for people. Therefore, they're not able to connect with God as the Father. They can connect with Jesus as the Savior, Jesus as your brother. They can connect with the Holy Spirit, whatever it is, but they have difficulty with connecting. How many believe that to the degree that you can connect with something, with anything, has anybody plugged a light in halfway and the light kind of blinks in and out? Why? Because it needs a complete connection in order for that power to flow. The same is true with our relationship with God. If we aren't completely connected, it can't flow. And that's why I've strongly been encouraging us to understand what our relationship with God is, and the word engage has come up. Remember, we can know all about God, right? Ask the Pharisees, they can recite this and know all about God, but they weren't connecting with God to know enough that Jesus was the Messiah. They were very well informed, but they weren't connected, all right? So, delve into your relationship with God. Delve into the different facets of God. How many of you want to know what it's like to be in front of the Jesus who has hair white as wool and eyes like fire and a sword coming out of his mouth where nobody can stand in his presence? Has anybody connected with that Jesus? How many want to, you know? That there are all these, and how many believe that when we're not connecting to the different facets, that you're missing out on something? I want to know God. I just don't want to know about God, and I just don't want to know one facet and get very good at knowing that facet. I want to delve into all these other areas. Guess what? There's an order to approach the Jesus that I just talked about. You don't just walk into that scenario. Remember Esther? She wanted to approach the king, but in order to approach the king, he had to raise his scepter. There was an order to approach the king. If you approached the king without him raising his scepter, you were killed. So there's an order, and God has set up this order, this divine order to approach him from the very beginning. And Cain and Abel learned about that, didn't they? The order, the divine order that God has arranged since the fall of man is to be sanctified by blood. And so one came and shed blood and approached God, and his gift was accepted. And another approached God his own way, and his gift wasn't accepted. And remember, God spoke to him, "Why has your countenance fallen, Cain? If you do things properly, won't you be accepted? But because you are not doing things properly, because you're doing it your own way and your own efforts, with your own ideas and your own agendas, sin is knocking at your door." So, hallelujah, I'm preaching a message here just on the relationship with God. That's one plate, which may divide up into many small plates, right? Next, your relationship with God, number one. Number two is, how about the Bible? How many believe that God wants us to read the Bible? How many believe that God wants us to listen to the preaching and teaching and be in part of Bible studies and study the Bible on your own? I believe that that's important. It's a plate that should be spinning. How many believe that God wants us to pray? And prayer is even broken up into smaller categories, isn't it? Because prayer is simply a conversation with God, and we should be doing that unceasingly, talking to God all day, every day. Amen? Conversation with God. But there's also these other categories. There are also these other categories of intercession, where we're coming to God on behalf of someone else. And petition. We're coming to God and saying, "Lord, please, Lord, we need this." Like, for instance, if we as a church gathered together and we wrote a petition to the Lord, we want a building, God. That's petitioning God for something. Amen? So there's these different types of prayer. How many believe that prayer is one of the plates that God wants to keep spinning? How about worship? And isn't it interesting with the different hardwirings of a human being that some people favor certain things over others? In other words, some people might not think that reading the Bible is that important today. So they let that plate fall to the ground. But worship, I'm worshiping all day long. I'm not really praying, I'm worshiping. Follow what I'm saying? Your perception, the way you view something, is important. It will determine what plate you allow to fall to the ground and what plate you will keep spinning. Your perception of something. Can you see all the messages tying together? God has been building precept upon precept that we will continue to mature in Christ. Hallelujah. Worship. How many believe that God desires? The Father is looking for those who will worship in spirit and in truth. The Bible says He's looking for it. He seeks it. He desires it. How many believe that fellowship is important to God? In the early church, in Acts 2:42, it talks about how the church started to function. They gave themselves to the apostles' doctrine, the Word of God. They met from house to house. And what have we been doing? Isn't it great? I'm loving it. I'm just having so much fun when we get together and we eat. Don't you just sense God's presence and God's pleasure? Fellowship is important. And just I want a little footnote here. How many believe that there is a strategy from the devil against each one of these plates? He, at any given moment, he's trying to persuade you that keeping that plate spinning is really not that important. Just let that one go. There's a strategy against each one of these. Fellowship, interestingly enough, there's a major attack against that right now because God is moving in a mighty way concerning the body of Christ. And the devil does not want the body of Christ to be joined together because he knows that every joint supplieth something. And he does not want us, 1,000 to flight, 2,000. He doesn't want the exponential, tremendous effect that the body of Christ will have as we are joined together. So he's trying to keep us as a bunch of individuals separated. Fellowship, super important. Let's keep that plate spinning. Time and money. How many believe that that's a plate, the giving aspect? Oops, we're missing giving there. Giving is right above time and money. Giving is important. Giving of your time to serve the King and to serve your community and to serve your family, that's important. Paul says, don't be weary in well-doing. Amen? Keep going. You're going to reap. And your time, your money, your gifts, the things that God has given you, we should be giving. Freely you receive, freely give. How about communion? Do we value communion? How many believe that if we keep the plate of communion spinning in our life, it will add something vitally important to our health spiritually? How about works? How many have heard the saying that to be heavenly minded and no earthly good is not God's intention? Works are important. To be doing for Christ is important. What James speaks about in his letter is that if you have faith in God, if you are trusting God and you are walking with God, there will be an evidence of that. It will look like something. What does it look like? Well, it looks like feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, visiting the prisoner, caring for the orphans and the widows. It looks like something. How many believe if you subtract works out of, if you let the plate of works drop to the ground, that you will be missing a vital nutrient? Super important to have works. The fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The gifts of the Spirit: speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy, words of wisdom, words of knowledge, gift of faith, gifts of healing, working of miracles. Do you think that the devil has had an assignment against that? That the devil in certain, even certain whole denominations, certain people groups, There's such an assignment against that, that not only is the plate not spinning in full force, that plate is not even on the pole spinning. It's on the ground. The devil's convinced them that that is not a plate that's supposed to be spinning. God has not inspired that plate to be spinning. We are not part of that people group, are we? We believe that the gifts of the Spirit have been given to us by God. And how many? Paul says, stir up the gift. Can't you just see stirring up? Can't you just see the guy spinning the plate faster? In other words, we need to maintain that. We need to put some energy and attention toward that. We just had a precious brother receive the gift of speaking in other tongues. How many believe that that plate can start wobbling and slowly start wobbling and fall to the ground? What a tragedy. God gave that gift. Use the gifts. I find myself, and just for your own information, when I first, people laid hands on me to receive the gift of speaking in other tongues. It didn't happen like I wanted it to. I wanted the Holy Spirit to just take over. I didn't want to, you know, I just wanted to know that I knew that it was from God, that I wasn't faking it. It wasn't in my head. It was a super obstacle. Finally, somebody jump-started me. And on the street by myself, I started playing with it. And then I want you to know that if I were to take the pie chart of my time in a day, the 24 hours, that a large portion of that would be highlighted with praying in the Spirit. I'm not even conscious of it. It's just welling up in me, and I just find myself praying in the Spirit all day long. It's wonderful. What a wonderful gift. Keep it spinning. Amen? How about the armor of God? Are you conscious of the armor of God? And this is not an exhaustive list, but these are some plates that should be spinning that we should be conscious of. We don't want Jesus to say, yeah, you should have kept the plate spinning about reading the Bible or speaking in tongues, but you shouldn't have let good works fall to the ground or the fruit of the Spirit or reading the Bible or your relationship with God or fellowship. Amen? We need to focus on these things. All right, hallelujah. How can you do it? How, Lord, how is that even possible? Prioritization is the key. Priority. In the dictionary says, a thing that is regarded as more important than another, the fact or condition of being regarded or treated as more important, and the right to take precedence or to proceed before others. Without the skill of prioritization, we are going to be running around and there are going to be plates falling all over the place because there's going to be 1,000 plates that we're trying to spin and God has not set those plates in motion for us. God has not initiated that for us. We've taken up this plate and started it spinning. We've taken up that plate and started it spinning and God had nothing to do with it. So we find ourselves running all over the place trying to keep this thing spinning. And oftentimes, we will keep the things spinning that haven't come from God and let the Bible plate fall to the ground, let the fellowship plate fall to the ground, let prayer fall to the ground. But by golly, I'm going to keep that plate spinning that the world has given me or that the devil's given me or that my family's given me, that my flesh has given me. Hallelujah. How are you going to determine what is a priority? What is more important than another thing? How do you do that? Thank goodness God has given us the Word of God, the Bible, the handbook to the human being on how to live and how to prioritize. Matthew chapter 17:5 says, he was still speaking when behold a bright cloud overshadowed them and a voice from the cloud said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. What's the instruction? Say it out loud.
Listen to him.
Listen to the beloved Son, Jesus Christ. How are you going to know what to do today? Listen to Jesus. That is That is inferring that we need to be consulting Jesus. We need to be in conversation with Jesus. Jesus, what should I do? Oh, Jesus, somebody just gave me this plate and told me to get it spinning. Should I do that? Hallelujah. Listen to him. And when he says no, no matter how hard it is, listen to him. If he says, no, I have not given you that plate to spin, put it down. Or put it aside, it's not for now. Or throw it on the ground and smash it into 1,000 pieces so nobody ever picks up that plate and spins it. Luke chapter 6, verse 47. Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently against the house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. There's wisdom in that, isn't it? In other words, if we listen to Jesus and do what he says, we're going to be wise. John chapter 5, verse 24. Verily, verily. And I want you to know in Scripture, length allotted, space given to, indicates importance. In other words, if Jesus said, verily I say to you, there's a certain importance. That's like an exclamation point. But when space allotted in the Scripture, verily, verily, Abraham, Abraham. Space allotted indicates importance. It's like two or three punctuation marks, exclamation points. Verily, verily, I say to you, this is important now. He that heareth my word and believeth in him that sent me has everlasting life and shall not come to condemnation, but is passed from death to life. So I'm getting a theme here. Anybody else? Hear and obey. Hear and obey. How are you going to know what plate should be kept spinning in your life? Hear and obey. Who better to consult on what should be done today first? How many know that today, every day we wake up, there's a list of things to do today? Some comes from the devil, some comes from the world, some comes from the flesh, and some comes from the Holy Spirit. So we need to be working with him and walking with him and communing with him. That's why, personally, I think in the morning it's important to wake up and to pray. To give space in the morning to reading your Bible and praying. How better to get into a groove of the Spirit than to just give some space and going to bed at night? How many believe that if you go to bed at night in the Spirit, you wake up in the morning, you're more quick to be in the groove of the Spirit? Listen, I would rather keep two plates spinning that were given to me by God than to be running around like a chicken because of the world, the flesh, and the devil. Amen? How many have been in the place where you feel like there are so many plates spinning at once that you don't know how you're going to do it all? But if we are doing the things that we know God has given us, we can rest assured that he will send the paraclete to assist us in keeping all things going. Amen? The paraclete, the one who comes along our side, the one who enables us to keep all these plates spinning. The paraclete, the Holy Spirit, is not going to come along our side and keep our plates spinning. He's not going to come along our side and keep the devil plate spinning or the world plate spinning. But when we are determined to hear from God and to keep the plate spinning that God has given us, there may be more than you think you can do, but I'll guarantee you, if you trust and believe in God, he will send the Holy Spirit, and you will be able to keep plates spinning that you never dreamt you could keep going. It'll be a miracle in your life. And you'll be sharing testimonies. I can't believe it. You know, someone asked one of the founding fathers of the church, or one of the pillars of the church. I can't remember if it was Martin Luther, who it was. But he prayed for 4 hours a day. And people would ask him, how can you pray for 4 hours a day and get as much as you get done in a day? How many have been there? I can't pray today. I have too much to do. He said, I could not get as much done in a day unless I pray for 4 hours a day. When we give to God and we devote ourselves to those things that God has given us to do, He comes along our side and enables us to do great and marvelous things. Hallelujah. This, in one of the scriptures it said they did exploits for God. How many want to do exploits for God? Amen? All right, now here's this this page is called Love Versus Works. Super important because we already talked about the devil having a strategy against the gift of God. The gift of God of reading the Bible. How many believe that God gave the Bible as a gift and the devil has turned that into a work? Those people who go to church read the Bible as a work. How much did you read today? It's a competition. How much did you pray today? It's a work. But we are not those who go to church. We are the church. And we realize that these things that God has given us are for our spiritual health and for our well-being that we will grow into, hallelujah, our created purpose and bring glory to God. We are not under condemnation when we don't read our Bible for an hour today. Love versus works. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 11 says, "To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats." Psalm 40 verse 6 says, "Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened, burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required." Hebrews 10:6. "In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast no pleasure." How many believe that they were working, they were doing works? What did God want? Can you see the red there? Verse 7, Hebrews 10:7. "Then said I, Lo, I come in the volume of the book that is written of me to do thy will, O God." Above, when he said, "Sacrifice and offering, burnt offering, and offering for sin would thou not, neither had pleasure therein, which are offered by the law." Those who are operating, those who are going to church are operating by the law. They're still bound underneath the law. They're still doing works to fulfill the law. 1 Samuel 15:22. And Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as..." Sorry. And Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice." Hosea 6:6, "For I desire mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings." God's heart. And Dion, we're getting to the place, the next page, where you're going to understand why the Holy Spirit gave you all the songs that He gave you this morning. God's heart. How many want to know God's heart? How many believe that you can know God's heart? The Bible says, Paul said in Corinthians, that the spirit of a man knows a man. You can't know God with your mind. But He's given us not the spirit of a man, but the spirit of God, that we will know God. Hallelujah. He's enabled us to know Him. We can't do it in the flesh, but God said, "I want them to know me." He's not standoffish. He's not separated from us and wanting to be separated from us. He so much wants us to know Him. And I believe He wants us to know Him to the degree that He knows us. He knows our heart. The Bible says no man knows the heart. Right? I don't know your heart. God knows your heart. To what degree does God know you? And to that degree, He wants us to know Him. Isn't that amazing? That Father, Jesus in John 17, "Father, that they would be one, just as you and I are one." How many believe that Jesus and the Father had an intimate relationship, a oneness? And that's to the degree that God wants our relationship with Him to be. God's heart. Understanding helps to engage to a point. perhaps out of discipline or duty, but that has us in a servant role. So to understand what God wants brings us to a certain point. Amen? If you read something, you understand something, then it brings us to a certain point. Perhaps out of discipline. I knew that God wanted me to pray. And I started to pray, and I used to fall asleep. I got up at 5 every morning, and I'd fall back asleep, and I read about things, and some guy stands on the edge of the bathtub so he wouldn't fall asleep while he was praying. You know, all these disciplines that people do, and believe me, I'm not against discipline, but it's when we mistake the end, the means for the end. I've arrived, I pray for an hour. No, that's not the end. That was a means to an end. The end is this intimacy with God. So I'm a fan of discipline. I practice discipline, not as much as I used to, but I was a heavy-duty discipline guy. There's a danger in it, because it only brings you to a certain point. How many believe the Pharisees were disciplined people? But it brought them to a certain point. It brought them to the servant role at best. God desires something more. John 15:15 says, "No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing. He's simply following a law. He read the law and he's doing the law, but he doesn't know his master. He just read the law and he's adhering to a law. That's how slaves operate. But I," Jesus said, "but I," say it out loud, "but I," Jesus said, "but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you." What an awesome thing. That's a good refrigerator magnet. "But I have called you friends." I believe the word for today is that God wants us to fall in love and to be in love. To be in love. He wants us to fall in love with the Word. He wants us to fall in love with worshiping. He wants us to fall in love with giving and with prayer and with fellowship. How many remember being in love with a person? Remember what it was like? Did you ever get butterflies in your stomach? Have you ever felt your stomach turn upside down because you were in love? Has your heart ever skipped a beat? Have your palms ever sweat when you started to get close, when that person that you fell in love with, you might catch eyes or they might walk over to you? You were hoping that they would walk over to you. You were hoping to have an encounter. You remember what being in love was like? Being in love is what the word of the Lord is for today. He wants us to be in love. There's a difference from getting up in the morning and praying for an hour because it's the law, because it's the right thing to do. And there's a difference getting up in the morning and praying because you love to talk to God. When I first got saved, I had the Word of God playing in a dual cassette player all night long. Every time it clicked off, I got up, turned the cassettes over, and played it all night long. And then when I got up, I got my Bible out, and I was reading and writing in a spiral bound before I went to work. I worked at a dairy farm as a hired hand. Anybody know what working on a dairy farm is like? It's hard work. I carried a pocket Bible in my back pocket. It was green. It was King James Version, New Testament. I carried it in my back pocket. Anytime I had to walk from the barn to the tractor, guess what I was doing? I was reading the Word. Not because the pastor told me to, not because I wasn't even going to church. I didn't even have a pastor. Not because somebody told me to, not because it was the law. I loved to read. I was in love with reading the Bible and studying the Bible. It wasn't a law. How many love to worship? Do you remember the first time that you entered into a worship service at a church? Do you remember what it felt like? Were you in love with that experience? Did you walk away and say, I don't ever want to go. I can't wait to get back. Have you ever given something? How about a $20 bill to someone who needed it? $100 bill. You ever give because God inspired you to give? What did that feel like? It's euphoric, isn't it? Has anybody been in love with giving? Have you loved to give? There's assignments. Remember, there's assignments. Don't give. He's just going to waste it on alcohol. Don't love. Don't fellowship. Don't pray. There's an assignment against that. How many of us here would come into agreement with that? None of us. We won't come into agreement. We won't allow those plates to fall. But one thing that can happen is we can do it because we're obligated by a law. Because we feel obligated to do it. That, I want you to know, may benefit you to a certain degree, but it's a less than experience. When you are in love with the Word of God, when you are in love with worshiping, when you are in love with praying and fellowshipping and giving, it's fun. It's fun. When we're in love with all these things, it's no longer works, is it? The devil wants to keep these ingredients in the works arena because he knows that if we fall in love with them, we will engage with them like we have never engaged before. Do you believe that? Do you believe that if the Holy Spirit and you are just falling in love with reading, your experience in reading the Bible will be at a level that you've never experienced before underneath the law? When you're going to church and you're underneath the law, hey, you're reading the Bible, it's of effect. You're gonna grow, you're gonna learn, but it's a less than experience than your in love relationship. The devil does not want us to be in love with studying and reading the Word. Because when we engage with that, it'll bring us to a place we've never been before. Profoundly in love with God. Do you believe that? That if you're in love, if you're reading the Scriptures out of love, you're going to come away from that experience in the Word profoundly in love with God. Because it's not a law. It's a love relationship. And the Word is alive. It's spiritual, and it's alive to you. It's alive to you. It's pretty cool. The devil doesn't want that to happen. When you are in love, you'll be amazed at how many plates you can keep spinning and not be burnt out because you love what you're doing. I heard Mario Morella say this once, that it's a people think you're more spiritual if you're burnt out, if you're exhausted. How spiritual are you, brother? He said this. He goes, how spiritual are you? Let me check those bags under your eyes. I want to see how many works you're doing. I want to see how many plates you're spinning, as if it's some sort of competition. Jesus said that I have meat that you know not of. This is not a competition. This is simply, Father, what would you have me to do today? And keep those plates spinning. Jesus said, the meat that I have that you know not of is to do the works of my Father. Some people are spinning plates and it's a work to them. And they're proud of it. They're, look how many things I can keep spinning. I go to Wednesday night. I go to Sunday morning. I sweep the church. I clean the toilets. I go visit the sick and I do all this stuff. And it's all works. And they're elevating themselves and thinking that they're more spiritual than anybody else. But they're all burnt out. They're exhausted. To do what the Father tells us to do is sustenance to us. It's meat that we know not of. It gives you life. It doesn't burn you out. So if you're burnt out, examine what plates you have spinning. Amen? Examine if you're in love. It's life to you when you're doing God's will. Jesus said, I have meat that you know not of, because he is sustained and fortified by doing his Father's will. And he knew it. Most of all, God wants us to fall in love with him. That's the priority. And so I'm going to trust and believe that there's going to be a release of the Spirit here. Lisa and I were in the house this morning, and we're listening to Where You Go, I Go. And I was studying, I was looking out the window, and I told her, I said, I could cry right now. I just feel His presence. I'm overwhelmed just by reading the Word and listening to worship and looking outside and appreciating the weather. I couldn't wait to go for a walk with my dog and get to be here with all of you. And I'm in love with you all. I'm in love with what God has for us. And that is what we should aim for. It should be nothing less. Just like a marriage, there's a predictable shelf life of the in-love experience. Right? Naturally speaking, you're in love for a while, but after a while, that in-love experience naturally will wane. But if we are intentional, how many believe that if you're married for 60 years, you can be in love and probably more in love than when you first met, because you devoted yourself to it, you could imagine it, you engaged with it, you agreed with God about it, you put your faith there, you believed that that's what He wanted, you, hallelujah. And that's what the Spirit came to the church, as Jesus came to the churches in Revelation. You'll be happy to know, Mike, that I've been reading Revelation and with the idea that we might study that someday. But He came to a church and said, but I have this against you. Return to your first love. Do you remember the day you got saved? Hallelujah. It might not be chronologically or whatever, but do you remember the experience? To be in love, to be thankful for Jesus. How many cried? How many were overwhelmed? Or return to your first love. We need to be intentional about keeping our relationship with Jesus. Number one, establishing our relationship with Jesus as an in-love relationship. I believe you can be saved and not in love with Christ. But there's possibility for us to grow. Start to imagine what it would be like to be in love with Jesus. Start there. And if you've been there before and you feel like it's a little bit duller, repent. Say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I've allowed myself to get this far away from You and allowed all these other plates to take over my life, and I'm running around busy in this world and I've forgotten what it means to be in love with You, just to be moved by Your presence to tears. Hallelujah. Father, I thank You so much for this word today. I thank You that it's Your heart for us to be in love with You and in love with one another. You want us to be in love with the Word and with worship and, hallelujah, prayer and giving. And You want it to be a euphoric, amazing experience. Forgive us when we've settled into the law, going to church and reading the Bible and the duty, for settling for a slave mentality where we know not our master and what He's doing. Father, we want to come into that friend relationship with You. We want to love You like never before. We want to know how high, how deep, how wide Your love, love, love. Hallelujah. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Mm-hmm.